The swing festival pastimes of Krishna from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. The interesting point of this story is that this swing pastime takes place at night, and it's a mixture of holy leela with julin. So it's a nice variation on the theme. Generally, we think julin is in the daytime and that holy is a separate pastime. But both these pastimes took place in spring. And Kavi Karnapur says that those devotees that want to get a sweet taste of bhakti ras, this is the ideal object for them to meditate on, the subject of this julin leela. So to increase our absorption, we'll read the story. On that very day in the spring, the sweet pastimes of Radha Krishna Yugal far surpassed the sporting of the demigods and their wives in the celestial gardens. The spring festival was held in a special place in Vrindavan, which was bordered by a line of desire trees of equal height, with round trunks and branches whose ends intertwined, leaving a bare space in the middle. The line of trees appeared like a wall of sapphire jewels. Besides the birds inhabiting those trees, the Vandevis of the forest had placed various service items in the trees to facilitate the pleasure of Radha and Shyam. In the trees were hung chamaras, silk cloth, long strands of pearls, jewels, fruits, and flowers. A square-shaped golden stage stood in the center of the decorated trees. In the middle of the stage was a jeweled kunj with four doors. Four Harichandan trees stood as pillars in the corners of the kunj. The intertwining of the tree's upper branches formed an overhead canopy. The swing hung on thin golden chains. Here's his ropes, tied to the branches of the Harichandan trees. This arena appeared in the center. Each Yuteshwari had a personal kunj with a swing in the four directions radiating from the central arena. The other arenas, lined with pleasant Devataru trees, radiated green all around and resonated with the singing of young cooing birds. The joyful chirping of these birds appeared to be the embodiments of festivity for the entire earth. One swing hung from each pair of trees, and sitting platforms for the gopis encircled the bases of these trees. In the center arena, four lines of swings belonging to four different group leaders, Yuteshwaris, faced the four doors of the main kunj. Herds of deer frolicked about joyfully in the flat open land surrounding the kunjas. The hearts of everyone immediately flooded with joy just by seeing these areas, which were illuminated by Chintamani gems and by trees as brilliant as coral. The top branches of the trees joined to form natural, pleasing green canopies. Gazing upward forever, one could not find the top of those tall trees. It was nighttime, and therefore the moonlight, filtering through the canopies of the trees, made small filaments of light on the forest floor that looked like piles of sesame seeds and rice. Thinking it food, the foolish female deer tried to lick it. The four kunjas, mandaps, were so similar that even the devatas could not distinguish them, or could only distinguish them by their placement in different directions. The Vandevis had stretched a canopy in preparation for the swing festival. The scattered moonlight appeared like pearl belts taken from the deities of the directions, broken by the steady wind and broadcast on the earth out of respect for the land of Vrindavan. It appeared as if all the stars in the sky, in great bliss, left their positions to come offer respects to the land of Vrindavan. Pieces of rustling silk cloth from the goddess of the sky formed the rooftops of the kunjas and hung down, quivering like tongues trying to lick the dust of Vrindavan. The nets of pearls hanging from that cloth were swinging gently in the soft breeze and pleasantly resounding like tinkling ankle bells. The forest gods had decorated the canopies with strings of various kinds of fruit and with fine-scented chamaras resembling white lotuses born from the sky or swans flying up from the lake of moonlight. The swing arena carried a celestial scent of aromatic aguru fumes, drops of perfume squeezed from the kalpadruma trees, and piles of camphor dust which made lines of white smoke in the sky. That's the perfume. Impatient and anxious to begin the swing festival, the devatas and their wives, the siddhas, vidyadharas, charanas, and kinnaras, played their instruments as they arrived in Vrindavan in their innumerable celestial airplanes. You see? They're there. In a jubilant mood, the gentle goddesses from different forests, carrying various festival ingredients in their hands, assembled in Vrindavan. With friendship, kindness, and all good qualities, they finished decorating the swing arena and built an impressive entrance with the best garlands. From all directions, flocks of joyful birds came fluttering to broadcast the sweetness of the swing festival. They perched peacefully on the twigs and branches of the trees around the arena. Eager to see the wonderful swing festival, the birds sang the glories of Krishna, while their own hearts swung in delight. Their own internal swing festival. Forgetting all troubles and impelled by curiosity, varieties of deer gathered in the kunjas. They stood as motionless as figures in a painting, appearing as if they had not been attracted to the forest by the sound of Krishna's flute, had not abandoned their household duties, and not opposed their elders. The doe-eyed gopis, like touchstones for pleasurable pastimes, suddenly manifested out of nowhere, as if coming directly from the desire trees. Covered with kunkum, their thighs ready for dancing. They wore fluffy petticoats covered by fine silk dresses extending to their ankles. Glittering bodices beautified their breasts. Their effulgent bodies were adorned with festive colored sashes and tinkling waist bells. The soft, rounded shoulders of the gopis rivaled the flower bow of Cupid. The gopis had tucked flower arrows in their girdles and held flower bombs in their hands. In the arena of the artful, amusing swing pastimes, the blissful gopis appeared like the incarnation of the goddess overseeing festive love battles, Kamadev's wife, Rati. Some gopis had flower pollen sachets hidden in their golden waist belts. Those bags of pollen seemed like the accumulated wealth of their skill in lovemaking, collected over a long period of time for purchasing the jewel of Krishna's mind. So they had like a little bag around their, tied in their little pouch filled with flower pollen, which they were going to throw in Krishna's face like a holy, natural holy. And he's saying that's like gold coins. They collected this wealth over a long period of time. And they were going to, this is their accumulated wealth in the skill of lovemaking. They're going to use that to purchase the jewel of Krishna's mind. Some gopis held thousands of flasks filled with fragrant aguru, musk, kaffir, and sandalwood ointments. These thin, delicate flasks would break open with a breath. They're like some kind of natural bottle made out of lac. Lac is like the bark of a tree, like the skin of a tree. And then they would form a little bottle out of it, a flask. And it's just like a lac, like something you do in art class when you're a kid or something. Like paper and glue, they make some little dolls out of paper and glue or something. For animals. So then they fill that with musk and kasturi and chandan powder or whatever, or even maybe water, and then they seal it somehow. Then when they throw it, when it's thrown through the air, the friction of the air makes the lac melt. So then the liquids just fly in your face, kind of like a dissolving water balloon or something, like a water balloon they throw up to. So these thin, delicate flasks would break open with a breath. Other gopis carried ingeniously designed syringes, pitchkaris, filled with flower essences, kunkum water, sandal water, and musk water. I guess the other one was powders. The gopis looked like well-armed soldiers ready for battle of love, anxiously awaiting the arrival of Radhika Shyam to start the festival. Each of the gopis, the jewels among women, who are more beautiful than the soldiers of Cupid, thought that she would swing first. The gopis entered the four areas around the main arena while discussing this among themselves. Out of excitement, they made a din with their loud laughing that resembled the sweet cooing of the cuckoos. Krishna entered the swing arena with his left arm resting on Radha's shoulder, holding his flute. In his right hand, Krishna twirled a lotus flower, while his bangles chimed happily. A pleasing peacock feather topped his reddish turban that tilted attractively to one side. Krishna's elegant earrings and ear lotuses swung in the breeze created by the bees circling his hair. Fine cloth kissed his limbs, lit by the jewels of his crown and bracelets. Krishna shone attractively with his pearl necklaces tinged red from the rays of his Kostuba jewel. Light, delicate footsteps accented his graceful yet playful gait. Jeweled anklets and bells adorned his lotus feet. Krishna, his splendid lips shining, appeared somewhat drowsy from chewing betel nut. Yet his effulgence easily defeated the combined radiance of all the jewels adorning the ladies in heaven. Krishna's effulgence took the shape of a jeweled mace to announce his entrance into the bower of jeweled trees. As Krishna and his servants ascended the dais surrounding the swing, the birds screeched, "Jai, Jai!" Victory, victory. The trees and creepers felt such rapture that their limbs erupted with tiny bumps and honey streamed down like a torrent of tears. When the peacocks stared at Radha and Krishna, they thought they were seeing dark rain clouds flashing lightning. Though knowing Radha and Krishna from before, due to their unprecedented love, the peacocks madly cried out, "Kehao, kehao, 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 kehao." Who are these persons? Different celestial denizens joined Krishna and the gopis to celebrate their jewelin lila. In attendance were charming charanas, male and female kimpurushas, and the wives of the siddhas beating expert on mridanga and panava drums with their delicate hands. The spotless heavenly damsels from Swarga and the apsaras directed by Urvasi held chamaras as radiant as the waves of the Mandakini River. They showered fragrant flowers from the Nandakanana gardens, which glittered like stars as they fell through the sky. In this atmosphere, Krishna mounted the attractive, comfortable seat of the swing. Krishna looked like a regal crest jewel sitting on the cotton seat. The cloth covering the seat was whiter than the foam that appeared during the churning of the milk ocean. Shining pillows also adorned the beautiful seat. See, shining pillows. Seeing that amazingly wonderful swing purified the vision and empowered the eyes to see other objects in a fresher way. While the devatas played sweet music, Mukunda and Radha marveled at the intricate workmanship of the jeweled lamps illuminating the swing. Trembling out of ecstatic love, Radhika and her friends sat beside Krishna, who rested his left arm on Radhika's shoulder. when the Lord ascended the exquisite swing and displayed his sweet beauty, which defeated the fickle currents of the river of nectarine beauty, the devatas and their wives lost all composure. As the ardent desire of the devatas' hearts to get a closer view of the divine couple moved out of their hearts to express itself, it choked their throats. With that hope, they left the middle sky and descended to the more favorable lower borders of the sky. In other words, the devatas were not on the earth. They were hovering in the sky at some distance. And they were observing the sweet beauty of Krishna's jewel and yatra. So their hearts became attracted, and they developed an intense desire to experience it in a more intimate way. So they came closer. They can't get too close because Krishna, they don't have the adhikar. When lotus-eyed Chandravali and other gopi group leaders beheld the especially intimate feature of Krishna sitting upon the swing, their eyes sparkled with blissful love. The gopis adorned with colorful makeup and tinkling belts mounted their respective swings and loudly sang sweet songs in the appropriate tempo. Chandravali and her group sat facing Murari. Bhadra and her associates sat on his right, Shyam and her followers on the left, and Danya and her assistants sat behind Murari. It was a big swing. Crowding the four outer yards, the other joy-filled gopis sang melodious songs with the finest artistic skill. Their effulgent complexions conquered a garden of golden creepers. As they softly vibrated their seven-stringed veenas, the gopis produced pleasing ambrosial music of unequaled excellence. Holding on with one hand and swinging their bodies, gopis moved gaily on the swings as swarms of bees followed them. With their free hands, the gopis took fistfuls of powder from the bags tucked in their belts and forcefully threw it into the air while their bangles jingled along. So they're swinging, holding out with one hand and taking another hand and opening their, getting their flower pollen from their pouches around their sachets, around their waist belts, and then flinging it in the air. Ho, ho, holy! So they're combining holy, the ecstasy of holy and julin, two and two for the price of one. You buy one, you get one free. That's a very special leela. It's nighttime, the moon is shining, they're swinging, they're throwing colors. Scattered here and there by the wind, the colored powders spread a red hue through the sky like a screen of fresh jaba flowers. The devatas, anguished by this obstruction in seeing Krishna's pastimes, repeatedly showered flowers from the sky to remove the recurring screen of dust. So the gopis were throwing all this dust and powdered chandan and camphor and kunkum and all these substances. And then it was blocking the skies, and the demigods were showering flowers, and the flowers were catching that dust and bringing it to the earth so it would open up the sky again. So they would throw it. It was like a kind of a Mahabharata. The gopis were throwing powders, holy powders, and the devatas were fighting back with showers of flowers. Akash Pushpa, because they wanted to see Krishna. It appeared that the clouds dripped flower nectar. As the Manjaris gracefully pushed the swings, Brinda and others shouted, Jai Ho! Jai Ho! Jai Ho! Swamini Ki Jai Ho! Shyam Sundar Ki Jai Ho! Shyam Ju Ki Jai Ho! While blissfully absorbed in swinging, Radha Krishna hurled colored powders on the gopis.
Oh yay!
When Chandravali and other sakis returned the volley with their powders, Radha and Krishna revealed a unique state of fresh beauty. As the powders thrown at Krishna blew away in the wind, the gopis filled their reddened hands with sandalwood powder and other fragrances to bomb Krishna again. Hari Bol. He's really enjoying, and they're enjoying. Radha's friends, who were experts in shooting pitchkaris full of sweet-smelling colored water, assembled around the swing of Radha and Krishna. Suddenly, Chandravali and her sakis attacked Radha and Krishna with pitchkaris full of color. With their jeweled pitchkaris loaded with scents and glittering like the moon, Radhika's sakis counterattacked Chandravali and her group with a fountain spray of color. Hoi hey! Aimed mainly at Chandravali, because she's the anti-party, Vipaksha, she's Vipaksha Saki. Aimed mainly at Chandravali, that spray of liquid scent did not even touch, not even once touch the bodies of Radha and Krishna. Gathering their forces, Radha's sakis, who were eager to win the battle, shouted, "I'm winning! I'm winning!" In the pandemonium, a few more gopis picked up pitchkaris and wildly squirted other gopis. In the excitement to win, some bottles of liquid fell and broke, releasing thick streams of aguru and sandalwood-scented liquid over the ground. Imagine how fragrant it was. Talk about some perfume. This is like unbelievable. When a flower bombs being forcefully thrown from all directions came too close to Brajendra Nandan, the gopis deflected them. However, if any bomb happened to hit the dark blue body of Krishna, Radhika happily wiped it off with her soft hand, moistened from perspiration. Feeling disturbed, Krishna lost his composure upon seeing the condition of the gopis. He was afflicted with pride and apprehension. To increase the pleasure of the doe-eyed gopis, who gazed at him with shy, downcast eyes like chakori birds agitated by the moonshine, Krishna abandoned all rules of formal conduct and followed the whims of Cupid. Witty, humorous, and controlled by his consorts, the brother of Balaram, rolling his eyes in desire, challenged the groups of gopis facing him on all sides, eager to play holy with him. So it's one against the masses. Skillful at sport, Hari smashed the gopis in a southern direction with a deluge of colors. While moving on their swings and firing red powder at Krishna, it's like airplanes shooting each other in the sky. So instead of having holy on the ground, it's not, instead of ground warfare, what do they call it? Ground warfare? Infantry. It's Air Force. So they're swinging on the swings and maybe standing on the swings and throwing colors at each other. Must be standing on the swings. While moving on their swings and firing red powder at Krishna, the beautiful gopis appeared as victory flags of cleverness. Then Krishna subdued the playful, blissful girls on the northern side. Next, he defeated the gopis and their associates in the western direction, who kept swinging the whole time while strongly desiring pastimes of enjoyment. Their eyes and bodies defeated the beauty of lakes full of lotus flowers. Then Krishna conquered the elegant, excited women on the eastern side, who were particularly attractive, being seated on swings directly opposite him. While swinging and throwing ruby red powder with his lotus hands, Krishna shared a seat with Radhika, who possesses the limit of all excellent qualities. After winning the battle of holy, Krishna, smiling brilliantly and proudly, desired to please the different groups of swinging gopis. Starting in the eastern direction, he faced each group and dexterously moved his swing in two different directions. When Krishna swung east or west, he moved the swing directly towards the gopis in those directions. When he swung to the north or south, those gopis sat next to him. In the joy of such counter swinging, Krishna's necklaces, forest garland, and shining earrings all joined in the festival. Sri Krishna Jhulana Ki Jai, Jaya Radha Jhulana Bihari, Jaya Radha Girivaradari, Jaya Radha Jhulana Bihari, Jaya Radha Girivaradari. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Sri Krishna.